I went back and told John Lessie immediately came out of the house. The truck had actually been warmed up already, and they came back in to say goodbye. They were on their way out of town, and they are out of town right now. And that's why I came in here today, because I don't think John should have to deal with this. He has a lot on his mind. He's dealing with bigger problems right now. I am happy to help him right now. I hope it helps to be here, because Lessie ended up going in the van, getting a micro recorder. John grabbed it from him, because as soon as she stepped in the van, Thurber started yelling, "Why are you in that van? Are you sleeping in that van?" John grabbed the ticket off the windshield, grabbed the microphone from Lessie, headed toward Thurber, and asking him with the microphone on, the recorder on, why are you asking us about that? It's daybreak. It's daylight. It's way past. It's after 8, and you're asking us about sleeping in a van in a place where it's not even illegal." And Thurber ended up quickly moving back to his car and getting in and driving. And John was walking along, trying to get him to say something with the window down. And he sped away, hitting John's hand that was holding the mic recorder. John tried to keep up with the car. He stopped the car immediately, saying, "You can't hit my car. That's illegal." He bolted from the car, opened the door right into John's face. He assaulted John physically with a door on purpose. He bolted toward him again. John was a few feet back. I thought he was going to hit him, and I thought he was going to do something like that. I bolted toward the officer, and I got up and hit him. He stopped, but he saw me coming, and John got his composure again and started putting the microphone in his face and saying, "You can't hit
me." By you hit him, you mean you intervened in between the two to prevent a violent confrontation?
I thought he was going to go after him. Because John lost his composure, he wasn't even looking, he was looking at the ground. John happens to be a handicapped individual, a Vietnam veteran, and he's got stress syndromes and other problems that he's dealing with right now, and this man hit him and went after him. John put the microphone back up to ask him, "Why are you hitting me? You can't hit me like that. It's illegal." And he was getting boisterous at this point. The traffic behind the officer's car was backing him. He went to the first car and said, "Did you see this man? He hit me, and he came after me, and that was illegal." And the first man was afraid and passed by John and bolted down the road. He didn't want to deal with it. The other cars turned around. There was another street there. They went the other way. Nobody wanted to deal with it. The officer got back in and started to leave. John and I and Lessie went back in the house. And he proceeded to go up a few feet and ticket another van that wasn't doing anything wrong, and ticket him from being too far from the curb. And we actually measured, and it was not too far from the curb, and it was a legal van, and it was a friend of ours. So this kind of behavior, and I only say this because I've actually dealt with, professionally I've dealt with psychotic people. I've worked in psych wards, and this man has a problem, and he's being very physical when he doesn't have to be, because John's not physical. And he's being almost psychotic, I think. And I think he's stalking them. It would almost cover the issue of stalking. So, you know, this man needs to be taken off and evaluated off the streets. Maybe he's doing his job a little bit too well. I don't know what his problem is. But John Hernandez is not a menace.
You know, we actually have had numerous reports about Thurber. I myself sued Thurber back in 1992-93 for falsely arresting me for simply trying to convey give a paper to a court clerk. I've discussed this on the air before, and he's gone after other people as well. We actually have some tape of him harassing witnesses in courtroom corridor a week and a half ago. This guy is ironically the nephew of James Thurber. I don't know if you know who James Thurber was. Yes. Who wrote the famous great humorist Blind Man for most of his life, James Thurber. And it's not either of them's either their fault. Anyway, back in 1992, what some people did, because there was no police review board to essentially do nothing but look like it was doing something, at least from my perspective. When we had officers who were creating problems, at least in one case, the case of Officer Lauren or Butchie Baker, some of us created a wanted poster and detailed Baker's criminal behavior, took a picture of him, and circulated it all over town, which we felt was appropriate behavior. And we didn't join any popularity contest with the win a popularity contest with the police department, but we did get the message out. And I think I've done the same, for example, with other individuals, like Merchant Stuart Martin, who's the manager of the ID building, who's assaulted homeless people, who's filed numerous false complaints. And the important thing is to document the whole case very carefully and not make any mistakes, so you can be sued for libel or slander. So if anybody is listening to this who's had problems with Deputy Thurber, or who's had a problem with a police officer or security agency, or perhaps who hasn't had a problem, who feels police are getting a bum deal, feels we're not adequately representing the problems that the police force face, please give a call to 423-5361. You'll probably get some argument here on that subject, but certainly we'll let you speak your piece as well. That's 423-5361. Our lines are open. We're waiting for the phone line to blink. And while we're waiting, I'm going to kind of get into the meat and potatoes of this show. John is not just an activist. He's a man who's put a great deal of study into questions around police misconduct. I believe you wrote your thesis on the issue.
I did. I was a community studies student at UCSC 1990, 1991. And I have it right here, my thesis, the movement to establish a police review commission in Santa Cruz. And I spent a lot of time working on that and wrote it. And I think it serves as a good history of the period of time when the Coalition for a Police Review Commission and other people were pressing for some way that complaints against police could be looked at by citizens and not just by police.
It should be noted that the complaints against deputies, of course, are still subject to simply an internal affairs process, whereas complaints against city police theoretically have another layer of review, that of the Citizens Police Review Board that you were on for a year and a half?
About a year and a half.
And also the board is, it's been going for 3 years. It's empowered to, in closed session, well, actually it doesn't have to hold closed sessions, I suppose, but it chooses to. It's not allowed to reveal personnel files, but it theoretically could hold open sessions, provided it didn't reveal personnel files. And they overlook, I think that's quite appropriate, the police review, the records of the police internal affairs reports. When a complaint is made, even when it's filed with the police review board, it is sent to the police department. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. One of the things that the Coalition for a Police Review Commission did before the board was even created, we did a lot of work that resulted in the board being created, but in the meantime, we made sure that complaint forms were available at places besides the police department. When I first started working on all of this, that was the case. You had to go to the police to get a complaint form. Over time, due to pressure, the city made complaint forms available all over the place, at the library, different offices that were more accessible to people and less intimidating than going to the police. Also, complaint forms were finally made available in Spanish for the first time due to our work.
We're still waiting for the Beach Flats report. All you city council members in Spanish, for those who live there, wouldn't that be a nice thing to have? Not really relevant to this particular topic, but for those who've been listening to my show, something perhaps that Scott Kennedy and perhaps Michael Hernandez, the Spanish-speaking folks' friend, and I hope we're all friends to every lingual group in this community, will take action. But the Police Review Board, John, you've been on the air here before in interviews. I think it was phone interview in the past. We've kind of run through some of the reasons why you resigned, sort of like that series in the 1960s, The Prisoner. Why did he resign from the Police Review Board? And it really is quite pertinent, I think, to look back on that, but I'd like to put it in the context of what's going on with the Police Review Board now, because on this show, for the last couple of weeks, I've been playing tapes of the Police Review Board meetings that we've had. I think it was a Police Review Board meeting in April 13th. And then I'm actually going to play a brief snippet of the city council meeting, both the one that happened 2 days ago and one that happened 2 weeks before that, because the issue was the police shooting, the shooting of Brian Andrus on Button Street back in mid-March. There was considerable brouhaha around that shooting, particularly because of a decision made by Chief Belcher, which was to essentially turn back two complaints by Douglas McGrath and Marilyn Weaver, who both spoke on the air and spoke to the city council and spoke to the police review board on the issue. The police chief, the chief made different allegations. He made some allegations to the paper. He said one thing. His letters to the two complainants say something else. The impression that was given was that the complaints were vague as to officers named and policies disputed. However, when we went to the board, as those who listened to the show last week know, it was almost unanimously conceded that Tony Garasso, what was his name? Tony Guerrero, Michael Hernandez's appointee on the Citizens Police Review Board, felt that the department was justified or there was some ambiguity, but everybody else seemed to feel that that was not so. That it was strange that Belcher rejected the complaints. We're not talking about reviewed the complaints and decided they were unfounded or inappropriate, unsustained, or but rather he just rejected them. Now, you've had let me go on a little bit more about this. Then I'm going to turn this over to you to give the historical perspective. His rejecting of the complaints offended the police review board. They felt, "What are you doing? You didn't even tell us you rejected the complaints. We learned about it from the Sentinel. Your letters to the complainants didn't even clarify that you were rejecting the complaints." This was according to Kay Bowden, who read the letters. You can't even really tell. So the complainants might have thought, "Oh, you didn't reject them," and then sit around waiting for 2 months and then discover that the complaints had in fact been rejected. So there was some consternation about Chief Belcher, his process in this matter. Of course, for those of us who have been following the Police Review Board, Chief Belcher, to those who are interested in a real, thorough, significant, and real police review process, know that this is certainly not the first time that this issue has come up. To put it in context, the Police Review Board wanted to do something about it. So what they did was they sent the complaints back to the chief in a more succinct, specific form. And they also wanted to have some agreement. They voted that the chief should make them a part of any process of dismissing complaints, which of course sounds kind of cumbersome and impossible. I mean, he can dismiss what he wants. But their point was they don't want the police department throwing complaints in the trash basket and them not knowing about it, which sounds like a good thing. And then they also went into the issue of all police shootings should be reviewed. Sounds like a good thing, too. Now, the problem, of course, as I pointed out in the last broadcast, is that the review that happens has nothing to do with any kind of independent information that the police review board gets, even though it has the power to seek through the city manager a review, even though it has the power, without even going to the city manager, to ask for public hearings and subpoena witnesses and ask for witnesses to repeat what actually happened. So, you know, was Happy John Dine, did Dine know the officer who shot him? Did the officer issue tickets in the past? Did the officer's friend got tickets in the past? What really went on there? We don't know any of these things because the police review board decided it wasn't interested, and because the police department and the sheriff's office, which investigated these cases, didn't ask those questions. Anyway, the police review board could have asked those questions and has never in its history chosen to do that. Even in this lethal shooting of John Dine, even in this nearly fatal shooting of Brian Andrus. Now, yet, you know, we get this picture in the media that somehow here is this police review board that's stomping all over the police department. If you read the Sentinel and you look at the cartoons, look at the Metro cartoons, you see this, the police review board is being portrayed as this out of control bunch of wingnuts that's trying to make to disarm the police department. What's wrong with this picture, John?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
You were!
For the last 10 seconds.
You're making...
very good after the last...
I was just writing down a note. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was saying... let me say it again. I mean, I'm glad you're right.
The poetry, the rising...
Oh, thank you.
The intensity was...
the media is giving us the indication that there are two different indications. One is that the police review board is really in there trying to get some review of the shootings, and I've kind of pointed out. And the other is that the police review board is hobbling the police. Are any of these accurate photos?
I don't know about accurate. The second part, completely inaccurate. It's so interesting. The police review board was created in a very weak way to begin with. And people are discussing these events that are happening as if they're victories for the board towards more independence, towards more accuracy, towards a better review of the police. And if there has been, if there have been some improvements in the police review board, they haven't even achieved a base level of being a good police review board. There are no automatic independent investigations of shootings, independent investigations. There are no independent investigations of complaints. The police review board, as you said, just reviews the police department's investigations
in closed session, and then doesn't explain what they, what they're, why they have the decisions, and nor do we know who votes for what on these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just so interesting when people talk about what these victories have been for the police review board. I remember when members of the board were talking about this sort of idea when I was on the board. There was an idea that, what a victory we've had. We can now review the internal affairs investigations generated by the police at the police review board office, not at the police department anymore. That, in my eyes, was no victory. That should have been from the beginning. In other ways, the police review board has gone backwards, clearly. For example, Gia Grant complained about a certain process that took place when she was on the board. She also resigned from the board just a year ago or so. She...
last fall, actually.
Uh-huh. And she spoke about raising a certain issue at a public meeting, and that was something that I had been concerned about when I was on the police review board as well. The issue was, why is there a police officer sitting up with the police review board up on the sort of panel city council table and chairs?
There still is, by the way.
There still is. And numerous citizens came to me and said, you know, I went to a police review board meeting and you told me that it's public, and I've heard it's public and you can go and talk to these people and they're just like me. And there was a police officer up there, and he is allowed to interact with the board in ways that the public is not. And people felt intimidated because that police officer was there. They thought they were going to deal just with citizens in an independent board situation. Gia raised this issue to the board, and interestingly enough, what she told me is that what was placed on the agenda for discussion regarding this issue was, should the police review board now begin to have a police officer present at closed meetings?
In other words, what you're telling me is that instead of changing the policy so that the public would not feel intimidated and by having a police officer up there, who, by the way, is now in plain clothes, so you don't really know it's a police officer till later, which probably makes you even more suspicious that you're being had. Instead of taking up that issue, they were actually talking of extending police power so that police officers would be invited into the internal affairs, into the review of internal affairs, the review of personnel files, the closed meetings that all of us are excluded from.
They not only discussed that, they voted and decided to do that.
Didn't they vote to have a person in the hallway? Wasn't that the ultimate decision?
Ultimately, there was some debate about what it meant to have the police officer there. I think they've decided that the police officer should be nearby and accessible. I think there was quite a bit of debate about whether or not the officer should be able to give a presentation to the board about the complaint that they're about to review. In other words,
to help them out.
To help them out. Certainly. And yeah.
Say no more. You know, I mean, my problem with this entire subject, even though I really want to go into it, I'm going to ask you what happened with you when you attempted to have complaints, very not just a complaint about you personally, but a complaint that has great political significance in terms of the power of the board to be able to function as an independent board, is stretching it, let's say, as a citizen review board, which is what Bill Christie delights in reminding us at every meeting when he was chair, that we aren't really a citizen review board. We are a citizen review board. All we do is review. We don't investigate. We just review. We're going to talk about, you know, some of the history of how this happened. Also, I'd like to go back eventually and talk a little bit about, I've said the board was born crippled because it doesn't have independent investigative power. It doesn't have mandatory public hearings. But more important than that, I've noticed recently, it doesn't use the powers it has. It could have, you know, Kennedy, Scott Kennedy, said to me last night in a conversation we had, believe it or not, we actually spoke, that he was the one who called several days after the shooting of Happy John Dine for an independent investigation. Now, that wasn't quite how I read it in the Sentinel, but let's take him at his word and say that's what he did. City Council was prepared to vote for an independent investigation. They could have held an emergency hearing, although they could have held a special hearing, but instead they chose to wait a month. They could have asked for an early investigation there, which you can have without even, you know, much ado. They didn't do that. Then when it reached their closed quarters, they didn't even order an independent investigation. And they claimed, well, you know, we looked it over and we believe the police were right. Why would an independent investigator think otherwise? Well, public hearings might have revealed more information. And one wonders if even discussing the board seems to be kind of a waste of time. The real question is, how do we deal with cases of police misconduct? John?
I am agreeing with you on that. Now, I don't think the board is doing a worthwhile service generally. In some ways, there is some benefit that we have it. I think, though, I've refocused my attention on what do we do about police violence? What do we do about violence generally? How do you respond to violence? And I'm not working so much on focusing on reforming the board. I mean, the attempt was to reform police practices and reform attitudes towards the police, and it didn't work. It hasn't worked. You mentioned earlier the police chief deciding that a couple of the complaints in the recent Button Street shooting, he just decided by himself that the complaints were not valid.
Without an investigation.
That's not, some things like that have happened before. When I was on the board, the police chief made a finding in a complaint before he got the police review board's review. The police review board was put in place after great effort so that there'd be a review, which is not even what was intended by the public here. The public wanted the police review board to investigate all complaints. So here we have this board that reviews an investigation, and the police department does the investigation. The chief of police is supposed to receive both of these apparently independent evaluations and then make his final decision. He decided in at least one case to make his final decision before the board did their work. What's the point of the board doing that work then? And apparently that came about because the chairperson of the board had met with the chief, and he came out of that meeting, which wasn't even a formal meeting. And I don't know how many informal meetings the past chair people and the current chairperson has with the chief. I think it's inappropriate, especially when decisions are being made. But apparently a decision was made from the viewpoint of the police chief, and he felt that he had the go-ahead to make decisions without receiving the review by the police review board, and he went ahead and did that. Similarly, the police department created new general orders about 2 years ago. General orders are the book that describes how the police department works and functions and what the practices are and how police officers should deal with certain situations. The police department changed some very important practices regarding complaints and went ahead and rewrote these practices, published them, put them into practice without talking to anyone about it, including the city council.
Even more than that, you're talking about Directive C7, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about a directive that said all complaints are to be sent to the Citizens Police Review Board. That's part of the city law, and it's also arguably part of the state law. And I guess you got some documentation on that, perhaps. But what had happened was, I believe you found out in the summer of 1995, you were curious as to why complaints had been dropping, which is a story all its own. Apparently, I don't know, there has been, you haven't suggested this correlation, but when the police review process became a public issue, when people wanted to create such a board, suddenly, was it not true, complaints began to start dropping markedly in the police department? Is that an accurate assessment? Did I understand you properly about that? Like in 90, 91, 92, and that is?
Yeah, from 1990 to 1994, the number of complaints, the average number of complaints, let me see if I can find my documents on that. What happened was after the police review board, thanks, I have it here somewhere. After the police review board was created, there was a far fewer number of complaints being filed by citizens, according to the police department. I wish I could find the numbers.
You asked about that, and a police officer sort of casually disclosed to you that they were reclassifying some of those complaints as inquiries, correct?
No. It wasn't casually discussed with me. At a public meeting...
That's what I mean.
At a public meeting, police officers spoke about this informal complaints process that they were engaging in, and that sometimes people would call or contact them with a complaint. They'd say, I have a complaint. And the police officer would, in the end, say, that's not really a complaint. And they gave an example of if someone's car is towed away and someone calls up and says, hey, my car was towed away, I'd like to complain about it, I don't think it was okay. The officer then explains why it was okay, and the person goes away satisfied, supposedly, which perhaps could happen. In the end, though, what happened when I started looking into this issue, and I simply at a police review board meeting was raise this point that there are now a lower number of complaints coming in. Why is that? I looked into this in other cities, and it turned out in San Jose and San Diego that there had been inquiries, as the police departments called them, filed and not complaints, and that in fact in San Jose they kept a list of these inquiries with phone numbers and names of people who had filed these inquiries, and the police auditor who is in San Jose, who is similar to the police review board here, she decided to contact these people, and there were hundreds of people, and a number of them thought that they had filed complaints.
The significance of this, as I see it, John, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that even before the police rewrote their directive, they had essentially been following a practice of dismissing certain complaints and reclassifying them as inquiries and dealing with them under a category which the Citizens Police Review Board was not able to review. They say, we only have to send you complaints, we don't have to send you inquiries. But this process was in violation of their directive C7, which mandated that everything be sent to the CPRB.
Well, it's unclear if they were doing that or not. It's unclear. What happened was I hoped to find out what was going on. Steve Belcher, the chief of police, indicated to the Good Times, and it was printed in an article, that the reason that there was a lower number of complaints was the police are doing a better job, which is one possible answer why there might be a lower number of complaints. The police review board eventually generated a list of questions to ask the police department about this. Those questions were answered, but the question of why there was a lower number of complaints was really never answered. And it became apparent that there possibly was this two-tiered system, and that possibly complaints were being called something else when they were being filed sometimes. What the police department did when this all started being discussed was they changed their procedures to make this actually illegal two-tiered system their policy and their procedure.
After the fact, they legalized what it would have previously been an illegal policy. So we can say that, well, maybe they didn't do it before, but why would they suddenly change it if they hadn't, in fact, been doing it before? And weren't there, in fact, some indications that, at least in some cases, they were doing it before?
Well, I can tell you, the Police Review Board makes recommendations to the police department. That's one of the apparent powers. What happens normally is that the recommendations are answered by the chief of police. He says, for the most part, he has said that these recommendations are already in place. For example, when I was on the board, the board recommended that the police should obtain signatures for consent searches. Oh, actually, in that case, he said it was impractical. Quote, he said, the police department in some cases does obtain written consensual searches. In most cases, this is impractical and quite often not required by law. Back to the point, in terms of complaints versus inquiries, and the police department not making it easy for people to file complaints, the board actually, I think it was bold of the board at the time. The board suggested that the police department should avoid either encouraging or soliciting withdrawal of complaints. That was one of, looks like about 10 recommendations made during 1994. And these recommendations are made as a result of reviewing complaints. They're not, just hypothetical. It might be a nice idea. Obviously, we had experienced the fact that the police department had encouraged or solicited the withdrawal of complaints.
They responded to this recommendation?
Well, they did.
It's right here. The response is, the police department neither solicits nor encourages the withdrawal of complaints.
So they were pretty quick to respond. They were okay after that.
They were.
Yeah. Well, that's what interested me is as I said, I feel that Belcher has illegally responded, and again to this C7 situation where his department is deep-sixing complaints, calling them inquiries. When your board calls him on it, first, as I understand, he wouldn't give out information. You attempted for how many months to get some sort of written statement from Belcher on how many complaints were inquiries and so forth?
Well, this was a problem not just dealing with the police department, but with the Police Review Board, and eventually I resigned from the board as a result of this kind of problem. But the police chief was asked for a long period of time by the staff of the Police Review Board about this situation. The police chief of Santa Cruz did say that the police department was not following their procedures and was possibly violating state law.
CBRB immediately called for District Attorney Art Denner to prosecute the police.
Yeah, naturally. We all missed it, though, somehow. It was very...
It probably happened in one of those meetings I never made. The question I have is if not only, as I understand it, you wanted to bring this issue up immediately, publicly, but you were persuaded by the chair at the time, Kay Bowden, to engage in quiet diplomacy.
Well, to be honest, her argument was persuasive for about 10 minutes, literally. We spoke on the phone, and she said it'd be better if we didn't do this publicly. Let's do this in a different way. You can work with the staff person. It's better if we don't bring this up in public.
Okay, let's remind the public what we're talking about. We're talking about the police chief violating the law by deep-sixing, concealing, dismissing, perhaps discouraging complaints by calling them inquiries in clear violation of his own departmental directive C7, in violation of the city ordinance, and possibly in violation of state law.
The police chief at that point had not admitted this yet, but he will in 2 months passing. But the chairperson of the board did say it's better not to do this. I had suggested it be an agenda item and be discussed publicly. Why is there a lower number of complaints happening? I agreed. I said, okay, if you're going to take it off the agenda, then we'll do that. I literally did phone her back in 10 minutes and say, I can't go with that. This is information that let's talk about. It seems pertinent. Perhaps it's not. Maybe, I don't know. But it seemed pertinent.
What's her response?
Oh, she said it's not going to be on the agenda.
So she, Is that her power, to simply remove items from the agenda that you want?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. This I gave some thought to when I was on the board and since, because the notion of authority is interesting and easily abused. And my point of view is that the chairperson of a board is essentially a clerk and not a decision maker in many terms.
Challenge her decision in this matter before the board seek a vote?
Say that again?
You seek to have the matter put on the agenda by suggesting that, you know, it was inappropriate for her not to put on the agenda because it was an important issue?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What happened when you brought that up?
She said it will not be on the agenda. She said that, you know, it will be dealt with in a different way. She actually said something to that effect at a public board meeting.
You didn't feel it appropriate to say, hold it, I'd like a vote on that issue?
No one knew the issue. I was going to essentially bring up this issue at a meeting.
But in essence, you were prevented from doing so by the dictate, the fiat of Chair Cabo?
That was my perspective. And in fact, like I said, that manner is why I resigned from the board. The board makes these recommendations that I was referring to earlier, that we develop these in closed meetings. And there was a case when the chairperson, Kay Bowden, and some other board members felt very strongly that one of our recommendations that we were going to make to the police department not be made public.
And what recommendation was that?
Well, unfortunately, I can't tell you. It was
a closed meeting. So now is that, are you subject to some kind of penalty if you speak?
It's interesting. Look, what would they do to me now? I'm off the board. I don't know. I agreed to confidentiality in regards to closed meetings.
Your word is at stake.
Yeah, I agreed to that. And
you could torture him, folks, and then
put it away. I'll tell everything.
By the way, if you want to join this conversation, I love interrupting John here. Do give us a call at 423-5361. It's a rare opportunity to talk to an individual who's actually been through the mill for month after month on the CPRB and actually was one of the individuals responsible for creating this. It's hard to call it a monster. Toy poodle is what I often say, but this, whatever.
It's an indication of where we're at, that people feel threatened by this police review board. It's very interesting because it's a very weak government body. Like I was saying, in the end, this particular recommendation that the board generated, it was decided that it would be in the best interest of the board and the police department and the future of the relationship between the two that this recommendation not be heard by the citizens of our community.
I don't want to sound overly suspicious here or paranoid, but it seems to me that the relation between the board and the police department is a nice thing to keep on an even keel, but isn't the relationship between the Citizens Police Review Board and its responsibility to the community to bring these issues to the fore the primary point?
Absolutely. But I think these relationships shift, and the people who gain these positions in government, their priorities shift.
Individuals of great integrity, I'm not saying that Kay Bowden doesn't have integrity, but even individuals who have strong views on the subject in terms of changing police policies like yourself are hamstrung by the processes that you along the way felt obliged to consent to. We're hoping, of course, we can get him publicly to repudiate that consent here on the air, folks. Call in to get John Malkin to just say no to police review board secrecy. Hang on, here's an incoming call. Check from all you callers as to whether Calling all technicians, get over here to Free Radio Santa Cruz immediately. We're going to have to make do with the folks in the studio until we can, glad you haven't been calling in great numbers, but while we're working on this, let's get back to this, John. You are bound by an oath of secrecy here, confidentiality. And I think this is very important, not just for you, but I think
it's an interesting point, and I can tell you this too, that I agreed to that confidentiality. We were meeting in closed sessions and looking at internal affairs reports when I was on the board, and I agreed to keep to that confidentiality. Something important happening.
Well, we're having hum problems. Apparently the radio has decided to do a hum-de-dum-dum. Can't hear anything at all? Is that true? Hello, can you hear us on the radio? I think you can hear us on the radio. Yeah, I think we are hearing. I believe that's happening. Wow. So continue with what you're saying.
I can tell you that there was another case when I actually did agree to keep confidentiality, and in the end I realized that it had been in a situation where I had been somewhat coerced into that decision. And this all relates to the question of there being a lower number of complaints coming into the police department. And if I could back up and just, I found my notes about that. I wrote a memo to the Complaints Review Committee of the Police Review Board when I was serving on the board, and that was in June 1995. And I pointed out that from 1990 to 1994, from 1989 to 1994, there was an average number of complaints filed of 71 per year. The lowest number of complaints was in 1993, when there were 34 complaints. And the number of complaints that had been filed in 1995, up until June, halfway through the year, there were only 7 complaints filed. And if that trend had continued, there'd only be 15 in the whole year, which seemed very, very small as compared to the previous years. So I wrote this memo, and it began this discussion of there being a low number of complaints. And in fact, the Police Review Board has a newsletter that it puts out, and the staff person of the Police Review Board writes the articles, or writes some of the articles for it, and noted this apparent low number of complaints. And he wrote that there have been surprisingly few complaints filed with the Santa Cruz Police Department, 15 total this year as of this writing. Last year there was a total of 53 complaints. 1993, there were a total of 34. He went on to say, so far there's only speculation as to the reason of this decrease in the number of complaints. What happened after that was that a police officer, Steve Clark, who was also the president of the Police Officers Association, he thought that this article in the newsletter was yeah, or something. He actually wrote a letter to the city manager and complained about this article, and raised my name specifically in regards to it. And I had not written the article. I had raised the issue. And his memo to the city manager, frankly, was rather disrespectful towards me, and I have it here somewhere. He said that what did he say? He thought that, I'll find that. But it was quite disrespectful towards me specifically on the Police Review Board.
Well, the police, I think, were generally taking pot shots at you because you had been involved in creating the board in the first place. Yeah. And I understand not only were the police taking pot shots at you, but you were suffering a lot of flack from members of the board itself, particularly people in positions of power on the board, like the chair of the board, Chair Bowden.
Yeah, and I can tell you more about that, definitely. I found this note that Steve Clark wrote as the president of the Police Officers Association. You wrote to the city manager, and he said that he was disturbed by this article in the Police Review Board newsletter. He said that the tones of the sentences seemed to imply a hint of suspicion. The use of the words surprisingly and speculation enhanced this perception. Then he says, I know that CPRB member Malkin entertains fantasies of the police department, quote, covering up complaints. I would hope that this absurd view does not spread within the ranks of the CPRB. I thought it was disrespectful for him to talk to me.
Defamatory.
Yeah. And what happened, again, interestingly, I dealt with the chairperson of our board in regards to this because, again, I thought I wanted to take some action in regards to this memo.
Public action.
Publicly. She adamantly discouraged that as well and suggested that I deal with this police officer who was the president of the POA. She suggested I deal with him directly, privately. I decided to do both. In some ways, I'm sorry I did the latter. The former I did publicly. I said that I found this disrespectful. Most board members agreed.
You mean you spoke about it at a public board meeting?
True.
Publish an ad in the Sentinel or run around the streets screaming Steve Clark is a bad guy?
No, absolutely not. I spoke about it at a public meeting and, in fact, asked the board to write a letter to him. And
I would think this is a public issue because here you are trying to investigate an issue, and instead of responding to the issue, he starts engaging in ad hominem attacks on you for raising